I would invite you to turn with me, first of all, to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. And then we're going to read briefly from a couple of other passages as well in Luke 2 and Matthew 13. As we think today about not just Father's Day, but a disciplined dad. First, Ephesians 6, 4. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And in Luke 2, 39 through 42. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. And Matthew chapter 13, verses 54 and 55. He came to his hometown and began to teach the people in their synagogue, so that they were astounded and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these deeds of power? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas?" Now those verses might seem a little eclectic, but there is a purpose as we reflect upon Father's Day today. Harry Chapin sings, "My child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away, and he was talking before I knew it. And as he grew, he says, 'I'm gonna be like you, Dad. You know I'm gonna be like you.' And the cats in the cradle and the silver moon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you coming home, Dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, son. You know we'll have a good time then." And throughout the song, there are other times that the dad misses. And toward the end of the song, the words are, "I've long since retired. My son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, 'I'd like to see you if you don't mind.' He said, 'I'd love to, Dad, if I can find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and the kids have the flu, but it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you.' And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me he'd grown up just like me. A boy was just like me." Unfortunately, there are many folks in our modern and postmodern society who probably have experienced this kind of dysfunction. I'm not going to just rag on dads today. We will have some positive things to say, but I do want to start with this realization. It is not all nice and pretty. One recent guest on the Today Show said that, and I quote, talking about children today, he said, "Children have a hole in their soul in the shape of their dad." And that just kind of struck me right between the eyes when he said that. Children have a hole in their soul the shape of their dad. The boy and his father were cleaning up an old shed, and the boy found an old chunk of a horse harness that had a large rusty buckle. And he picked it up and he began to beam and he said, "Dad, look what I found. Can I keep it?" His father looked at him and said, "Oh, that's just an old piece of junk. You need to just throw it away." And so he did. Years later, the grown boy wished that he could find the harness again and place it on his desk in his office to remind him of the differences between the values of a boy and a man. And the challenge for us today, I think, we who are fathers, whether biologically or in a surrogate way, we who are fathers adoptively. Sometimes we don't adopt the children, but they adopt us. Need to be reminded that we need to be present with our children, especially in this helter-skelter kind of world in which we live. Even when they grow older, to be present. Because there's an ongoing need for relationships regardless of age. And the texts that we read today, I think, speak to the need to have disciplined dads. And it does take discipline sometimes for us to really be dad and not just father. Before looking at a couple of examples from Jesus' life as to Joseph as a dad and his responsibilities, I want us to first look at that familiar verse from Ephesians chapter 6 that we read to begin with. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now that doesn't mean that our kids aren't going to get angry with us sometimes. Sometimes downright mad. Although I keep remembering that my grandmother, when I said one time that I was mad, my grandmother Zachary looked at me. She said, "Steve, dogs get mad. People get angry." And since I wasn't foaming at the mouth, I guess I wasn't mad. But it sure felt like it. Often we focus on the anger and discipline part of that verse. And in our lives, we think of discipline as what? Bring your children up in the discipline. And we think of that as strictness and punishment. Do we not? That's generally what comes to mind when we think of discipline and children. If you don't stop running through the house, I'm going to unscrew your feet and put them in the closet. And then you can't run. I tell that because a short time later, when that young boy who is still young but is bigger than me now, I saw him sitting in the corner of a room with one foot up and pulling on it, trying to see if you could really take off your feet. But we think of punishment and strictness, ways to keep our children in line. Yet I think the author here has much more than that in mind. Because notice the context. We are to bring them up in the discipline of the Lord and in the instruction of the Lord. That's not scared to death, run and hide in the closet when daddy gets home. We are, as dads, to be disciplined in our lives and disciplined in the way that we study and the way that we keep the instruction of the Lord in our lives as examples. Especially our spiritual lives. And then we are to instruct or teach our children the same kinds of discipline. Reading and studying. Not just the biblical text, though we start there, but other texts that would help us to gain understanding. Praying, not just at breakfast and lunch and supper, as we called it in North Carolina, supper. But at other times as well, we need to teach them to take these disciplines seriously and regularly, not just on occasion. But we need, as dads, to be disciplined in the way we approach our own lives with God. We need to teach them discipline in all that they do. Not just because we say so, but also because we do so. Not because I said so, but because by example I do it. And therefore, you should live that same example. I've used this example before, and it's not written in here. It just popped into my feeble brain. But you might recall the TV commercials. They've done one on litter that is similar, but the TV commercials of several years ago where there was a small boy and his father, and they were walking along. They sat down next to a tree, and the father took out a cigarette and put it in his mouth and lit it up and laid the pack down, and the boy picked up the pack of cigarettes and started fumbling around inside. And the tagline had to do with that children repeat what they see. We need to show our discipline in the ways we are faithful to God and to family, so that our children will learn the same types of disciplines, which means in every way, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and relationally. I really think that's part of the foundation of what the author was saying in Ephesians. To bring them up in the disciplines and the instructions of God, not just to spank them or put them in a corner, but to teach them even the love and the grace which takes discipline. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but are there any of us in here who do not believe that it is more difficult to be disciplined in the ways we handle our children than to fly off the handle? It takes more work, but it also takes more love. And so I think that's what moves us from simply being father to dad, is when we uncover that within us and around us, and then we risk putting it forth, teaching those disciplines. So what other examples do we find then? You probably wondered about the rather strange choice of verses that we read a few moments ago, but I want us to look at Joseph and Jesus. In Luke 2, we read that Jesus' parents did everything required by the law of the Lord. That was first and foremost with them. And if we go back and read the birth stories in Luke 2, over and over again, Luke says that they did everything according to the law, according to the law, according to the law. Joseph, not just Mary, but Joseph did everything according to the law. He showed that discipline in the way he understood what God would have him to do, and then he carried it out. He didn't just read it and say, "Oh, that sounds nice, maybe someday," but he actually did it in the way not only the birth took place and the naming of Jesus and the circumcision and the sacrifices for purification and all of those things, but Joseph recognized the importance of doing that which brought relationship with God and taught his son, who was human at that time in his life, his son, the same disciplines. So much more that we read in the verses a short time ago, that he was brought up that way and he grew in wisdom. Why? Because his parents, and in Jewish society, Joseph would have taken the lead, taught him those disciplines and kept him very closely in that kind of instruction, which would be the foundation for much of Jesus' teachings. And then we come to Passover when he's 12 years old, that important time for him when he is now a man. And the text says that they took him to Jerusalem for Passover every year. Now, according to law, you only had to make that trek once. But every year they went, which shows Joseph's understanding of that discipline of the Lord and of the law of God. When he's 12, the point at which he is a man, they go there as was their custom. and they worship, as was their custom. The discipline that Joseph showed within his own life and instilled in Jesus at a young age, that discipline of worship and study, carried on throughout Jesus' life. Because we read through the text and constantly find regularly that he is in the temple, as was his custom, and that he treats others with fairness and with care. Lessons that he would have learned from Joseph. Joseph, who we surmise from his lack of mention later in Jesus' life and his not being present later on when Jesus' family comes to get him because people think that he's gone off the deep end, that Joseph had died at some point earlier on. But those things that he taught Jesus continued to stick with him and to undergird his life. Another example of that disciplined dad is found in Matthew 13, where the adult Jesus has come to Nazareth to teach in the synagogue. We know that he was rejected by many at that point, teaching in his hometown, who say, "Is not this the carpenter's son?" And Mark's version has them calling Jesus, "Is not this the carpenter?" One expectation in Jewish society was that fathers would teach their sons the family trade or the family business. Though Joseph is not alive at this point, we find that Joseph's influence continues. And as a faithful and disciplined dad, in his work, he taught Jesus the carpenter trade. He believed in teaching his children. But even more so, yes, Joseph taught Jesus the carpenter's trade, but notice again where Jesus is and what Jesus is doing. He is in the synagogue and he is teaching. He continues to learn and to teach. So we as fathers, as dads, are to be disciplined in living and teaching not just our spiritual worship, but a strong work ethic, and a continued love for learning. All of these things speak to one primary word: relationship. Relationship. Strong relationships involve some key factors. One of those factors is time. We live in such a hectic, paced world. But in the Harry Chapin song, with which we began, the lack of time led to missing out on key moments in life. Key moments in both the life as the child grew and when the father was old. Children often remember when we're absent, sometimes more than when we're present. When we make the time for our children, we benefit just as much as anyone. And we can teach them the disciplines they will need for fruitful lives. But not only that, that relationship is allowed to grow. As we spend that time. A second key factor, I think, is listening. To be a disciplined dad, we have to be disciplined to listen. I know some of us can multitask. We can have the radio on, the television on, and be working on the computer and have two or three windows open and still know what's going on in every one of them, at least at a certain level. But children, young or grown, know when we're only half listening. They know when we're only half listening. We listen intently for the very first words right? Any parent that doesn't listen intently and they're pulling, oh, say dad, and say mama. No, daddy. No, mama. You know, we listen intently for those first words. And we get satisfaction in hearing those. But later on, we wish they'd be quiet, so we didn't have to listen anymore. Yet, who can forget the satisfaction that we get when we share an adventure with others? Or an important lesson that we have learned, and they listen, and we're satisfied. What good are tackle-busting trout, huge deer, a first baseball hit, or obtaining an award if those who are important to us do not listen and share our story? We need to make sure that as we tune out things, we tune out the cacophony of the world around us and not tune out our children. We just might learn something important about relationships if we tune in. A painful principle of growth, but one that is a part of being a disciplined dad, is trust. Growing children to adulthood is not permission, and it's certainly not permissiveness. Helping children move to productive adulthood entails guidance, but it also entails trust. And that's so hard for us to do, especially with some of the things that perhaps we've been through in our lives. And we honestly don't want our children to repeat some of our decisions and some of our mistakes, or find themselves hurting from some similar experiences. And yet there are times that we need to trust. As hard as that is, it takes discipline to trust. If we teach them how to be disciplined, then perhaps we can find it easier to trust, and to trust their judgment, and to give them opportunities to prove what they've learned. Another factor that is sometimes difficult for fathers to include is honesty. And I'm not just talking about embellishing our feats when we were in school. I'm not talking about these kind of feats. But the things that we did in sports or in other areas of life. And I'm not just speaking about teaching people not to steal or lie. I'm talking about something that's even more difficult for many of us, and that's to be honest and admit when we're wrong. But when we are disciplined enough and man enough to be honest and admit our faults and our shortcomings, we teach our children more about relationships and forgiveness than we could ever hope they would find through reading a book. And we also learn patience and have opportunities perhaps to grow closer to our children when they do wrong, and we say, well, you know, I kind of did that, and here's what I learned from it. The most important factor, though, well, I'll ask, what do you think the most important factor in being a disciplined dad with our children is? Four-letter word. No. Not whip. Whose child is that? Don't have a clue. He must get that kind of wit from his mother. Another four-letter word. Thank you. Love. The most important factor. Why? Because love actually is the foundation for all of these other factors. And it's a foundation for relationship. Now, I know it seems trite and cliche to say, but perhaps a story will suffice. father and his son went on a father-son camping trip with the church. In the evening, a lot of the boys were running around and playing, and some were snipe hunting, and some were running around playing hide-and-seek and tag in the dark. The only light was light from two or three campfires. And one young boy was running. He tripped and fell into the middle of a campfire and was burned very severely. His father sat beside his bed once they got him to the hospital all that night and all the next day and the next night and the next day. And for several days and nights, he never left the room. Later on, after he was recovering, somebody asked the boy what was going through his mind during that time. The boy said, well, he couldn't sleep very often because of the pain. And he prayed over and over again, asking God, why me? He said, after several nights, I found the answer. Before this time, I wasn't sure that Dad really cared for me. Now I know he does. Love is shown in different ways. Oftentimes in ways that we don't realize. A disciplined dad will also be one who knows the importance of letting his love and his care for his children be known. As we remember our fathers today, my hope is that we will find more memories of disciplined dads who shared these things with us than the dad in the Harry Chapin song, Cats in the Cradle. I also challenge each one of us, whether biological or surrogate, to be more disciplined in our religious duties, to be more disciplined in our relationships with our children, in giving our time, in listening, in providing trust and honesty, so that our children will never wonder, like that boy did, if we really care. They'll know, even before being burned by the fires of life, they will already know. And they will become disciplined children who will make us proud and are happy in God and who really know us as Dad. May we pray. My gracious God, we do come before You knowing that sometimes we fall very short. Not just with You, but in relationships with our family, and especially with our children. Help us to truly be dads, to be there, and to know the joy of relationship. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision is number 451. A Christian Home. As we sing, our altar is open. But as we sing, I hope that we will reflect upon the challenge that we have to be disciplined dads, to help not only our children, but those others with whom we come in contact, so that they may know of God's grace. Number 451.